Good morning, everyone. I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is with us in His Spirit because we are here in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to share some, in announcements today. We are continually doing our Lenten season and study every Wednesday night. Starting at 5 o'clock, we are going to have a fellowship continually downstairs. And also, then we have a worship time in the sanctuary. And then, we have a small group, study time together. Every Wednesday, we have around 60 people, get together for this, season. Please join the fellowship time if you are not able to come to the, Bible study time, together. And also, we are going to have a community Good Friday service on the Passion Week. So, I heard that, there will be around 9 pastors will join us together and their churches. And also, on the same day, we are going to have 10 of rest service at 7 o'clock here at the main sanctuary. Pastor, Bethany did a wonderful job when she led our Ash Wednesday service this year. We could feel the presence of God in the chapel. But, for this 10 of rest service, we will have a service here in the main sanctuary. And also, Pastor Bethany will lead that service too. And also, Monday, Thursday, Thursday this year will be our day of prayer. So from 8 o'clock to 8 p.m., we are going to get together at the sanctuary to pray for our nation, for the world, and also for our community. Please, think about, joining the, prayer time on Monday, Thursday. And also, I heard that, March 21st, we are going to, host food bank. So more detailed, information will be shared with you on next Sunday. And also, our mission team just came back from their day trip to down to the Detroit area, the Cass community. So they had a really, really wonderful time together. And we're going to share some pictures, next, Sunday too. And before we start our worship, why don't we stand up together and greet one another, okay? Dear God, thank you so much for inviting us to be here in your presence. God, we are yours, and help us to find your grace as we are worshiping you. God, fill our heart with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be moved by your love as we are praising and worshiping you, Lord. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing, I Am a Friend of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm sorry, no one out there looks under 12. Okay. But just to catch you up, in Sunday school this morning, we continued to wonder about the mystery of Easter and to think about the faces of Easter. We talked about the time Jesus spent in the wilderness before he began his ministry. After those 40 days, he came back across the Jordan River to begin his ministry of miracles, healing, and telling parables. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping the trees grow and bringing spring very early. We wonder about that. We also have some big wonderings about Jesus' time in the wilderness and his early ministry. Help our understanding grow in our wondering. Amen.
As we enter into prayer, we would like to share a song called Branches with you, and I invite you to sing in on the chorus and the bridge.
I'm here.
Would you please bow your head and join me in the prayer? Dear God, we give thanks to you for your steadfast love in our lives. We are gathered together this morning to give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. We thank you for continually working on our lives through the things we are experiencing so that we can be transformed into your Son's image, revealing your goodness and love. God, we Midland First want to be remembered as a community of love so that we can share the light of Jesus on our family, our community, and the world. God, help us to grow continually as your faithful servant, living up to your call and the gospel of Jesus Christ we have in our heart. We pray for our country that has been divided so severely. We pray for your healing and restoration of our nation. We remember the people in the Gaza Strip, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, South Sudan, Myanmar, and many other nations who are suffering from the brutality of wars. We pray for peace over those nations. We pray for your healing of their physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds. God, be with our church family members who are in challenging situations with their physical, financial, and relational issues. God, walk closely with them and show your mercy to them at this time. Help them overcome the challenges they are facing. Strengthen their faith. Let Midland First continually participate in your work of mercy. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now we come to a time of communion. Please, you know, take out our French pad and let us know you are here together with us. And I really, really appreciate your continued participation in God's mission through Midland First. And that we are going to, you know, try hard to provide all kinds of mission opportunities we have at the church, you know, for you. So I hope you can be just connected to one of the missions we have at the church, you know, continually. And ushers, would you please come forward? Let us pray. Dear God, We are so grateful that whenever we bring offering to you in our worship service, it reminds us that everything we have is from you, Lord. God, we belong to you, and also we are your servant. As we are giving these offerings to you, God, we give our lives to you again. Please, God, accept us and use us. Use these offerings only for your kingdom. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Christ is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Also, Romans chapter 12, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andrew. Let us pray. Dear God, we open our hearts toward you. Please, God, speak to our heart. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I sent an email to Pastor Rick Warren asking him to send us a special message as we are doing the Lenten season churchwide Bible study and using his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I was not sure if he would respond to my email or not, but the date I sent my email was February 12. So this is a part of my email I sent to him. This Lenten season, Midland First is embarking on a study of your book, The Purpose-Driven Life, together every Wednesday night. In 2005, I led the Purpose-Driven Life campaign at Detroit Korean UMC and witnessed God's special blessings in the church. I am reaching out to inquire if you would be able to send us a short message of encouragement for our congregation as Midland First endeavors to experience God's special blessings through this study. And then I added my special experience in the email, which was, I remember the time I hold your Doctor of Ministry program, dissertation in my hands at the Fuller Library. I was so excited. I know you are busy, but if you can send us special words of encouragement, that would be great. I waited, and then finally I got this email from him 2 weeks ago, February 21st, Midland First Congregation. I received a letter from Reverend Yum that you are going to be starting the purpose-driven life in the coming weeks. I'm so proud of you all and the dedication you are showing in your commitment to Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you will use this study to grow in your relationship with the Lord. God bless Pastor Rick. But you don't seem to be impressed. That was the impression I got from the first in the service this morning. But it's okay. I heard that many churches try to, you know, get the special message as they are studying this book together, that not many churches can get the, reply from Pastor Rick Warren. But I'm so glad he sent this, special message for our congregation. Last Sunday, Pastor Bethany preached about our first purpose of our lives. Do you remember that? The worship, right? So what is worship? Simply put, worship is our response to God's love. Worship is our response to God's love. Let me quote Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. Think about it. Compassion is another word in the Bible for love, right? So God is good to everyone. And his love is over all his creation. So his creation always praises and worships him. And his creation has tried to make him known. That is why we have this psalm, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and the world to all the world. Even God's creation cannot help but praise and worship our God. That is our purpose, because we have God's love to everyone in God's creation. So it is our response to God's love that is our worship, even the creation God made. Today, we will delve into the second purpose of our lives. We were formed for God's family. We were formed for God's family, which means we belong to God. And we belong to one another. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. Let me quote Rick Warren on this. When we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father. We become his children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters. And the church becomes our spiritual family. The family of God includes all believers in the past, the present, and the future. The last sentence is a time-long confession of the church about the church. We belong to our church family, the people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the people in the past, the people in the current time, and the people in the future. We believe in the one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. This confession came from the Nicene Creed in AD 381. And there, the Catholic Church means, we are not talking about the Catholic Church nowadays, the denominational church, but it is about the church family. In the past, right now, in the future, we are God's family together. That means we believe in the Catholic Church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we now members of God's own family. When we first met Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we were born again, that was not all. God's plan for all of us was we belong to His family. After our conversion experience, after we met Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, then we were invited to become a member of God's family together. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, Jesus and the people He makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why He isn't ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. Amen? Please talk to the person sitting next to you. We are family together, and we need you. Just talk to the person sitting next to you together. Yes, we belong to one another, and we need you. When I asked our church members in the first service, some of the couples, they kind of, you know, hesitated to share that with one another. So I was concerned about their relationship. Yes, we need one another. We are family together. And today's, you know, scripture from John 15 reveals to us how the church family should function to live out its mission in the world. The first of all, God's attention to His church is bearing fruit. John 15 verses 1 through 2, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. Yes, God's attention to us is our bearing fruit in our lives. God wants us to grow. God wants us to continually bear fruit in our lives abundantly. Jesus Christ is the true vine. And God is the vine grower, and we are the branches in the true vine. And also God is working on us for us to bear more fruit. If that is true, think about God's hands on your life right now. What are the things God is doing in your life to help us to grow more fruits in our lives? Please think about it. That is why we have this scripture from Matthew chapter 7. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a good bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruit. Okay, then what kinds of fruits are you bearing right now? Remember, the fruits we are bearing are not for us. It's for others. So what kinds of fruits are you bearing for other people? Then what is the fruit? The fruit in today's passage symbolizes the qualities, actions, and lives that result from abiding in Jesus Christ. And also, the fruit represents the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. There are some scholars who believe that joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are different kinds of colors of love. That is why we have singular noun here, fruit, instead of fruit. Fruit instead of fruit. It's all about different kind of shades and colors of love. There is a command, and secondly, the church family must abide in Jesus Christ. Why? That is the way we can glorify God and become Jesus Christ's disciples and have ultimate joy of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that is the way we can do missions in the world. John 15, verses 8 and 11. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Then what does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? Abiding in Jesus Christ means obeying Jesus Christ's words. John 15, 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. There are many reasons sometimes, you know, our prayers are not answered by, you know, God. And one of the reasons is we are asking for our desires. Then prayers cannot be answered by God. But when we are saturated with the Word of God in our heart, and then, you know, when we ask God according to the Scriptures, the words of God in our heart, then our prayers can be answered by God. Abiding in Jesus Christ means obeying Jesus Christ's words. And also, abiding in Jesus Christ means abiding in Jesus' love. John 15, 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Let me quote, you know, Rick Warren about this again. Life is all about love. Because God is love, the most important lesson he wants you to learn on earth is how to love. It is in loving that we are most like him. So love is the foundation of every command he has given us. The whole law can be summed up in this one command: love others as you love yourself. When you transfer into eternity, you will leave everything else behind. All you are taking with you is your character. That's why the Bible says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Yes, God is working on our character. God wants us to know how deep and how wide his love is in the world. And God wants us to know how much God loves the world. That is what God is doing in our lives, working on our character, especially our character of love. Last but not least, by abiding in Jesus Christ, we can be one body in Christ. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. In the New Testament, we can find the scriptures commanding the unity of the church a lot. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And also Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. As you might remember, before Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, he prayed. He prayed not only for his disciples, and also he prayed for us too. John 17, we can find the high priest prayer there. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What does that mean? Having unity at the church is not an easy thing to do. If you find the churches in the New Testament, all of them, they had gone through a lot. And also at the same time, even Jesus Christ is praying for us, for our unity. And the last sentence in his prayer here, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Which means, when we are unified together, the world can understand God has sent his son Jesus Christ for them, as they are seeing us, that we are being unified. So our unification, our unity at the church, it is not only for us. It is also for the people outside who need the grace of God in their lives. Amen. 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 Then what is the biblical recipe for the unity of the church? When we are in the Holy Spirit together, when we are guided by the Holy Spirit together, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of unity, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of scripture, and also the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer, then we can find and experience the power of unity at the church. When our intimacy with God can be reflected in our relationship with others, we can experience the power of unity together. As you know, Christian marriage is not the union of two people, husband and wife. Christian marriage is a union of three: husband, wife, and God. We have to usher, invite Jesus Christ to our family, to our relationship with our family members, so that Jesus Christ can be the leader in our family and also in our relationship. By doing so, we can have unity in our relationship with our family members. As you know, God always exists in a community of unity. God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and also the Holy Spirit. So whenever we see the work of God in our lives, we can always find the unity there. Because God always exists in the unity of a community. We have to remember that. And let me summarize my sermon, you know, today. Our second purpose in our lives is remembering that we are called together to become God's family. We belong to God, and also we belong to one another. God is paying attention to the fruit we are going to bear. And what is the fruit? It's our love. It's our love. To do so, we have to be abiding in God, abiding in Jesus Christ continually, which means obeying Jesus Christ's words and also abiding in Jesus Christ's love. By doing so, we can experience the power of unity of us in Jesus Christ. Then the world will come to know that Jesus Christ was sent by God for them as they are watching us. We are being unified together. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite you to this, you know, communion table. We are practicing open communion table, which means as long as you have a love for Jesus Christ, you are welcomed to join this abundant, gracious table of communion. Before we have a communion together, I'd like to have time to think about the things we have in our lives. If you have still people you haven't forgiven, just ask God to give you power to forgive them. And also, if you have any impurities in your heart, then ask God to cleanse your heart and ask God's, you know, ask for God's forgiveness. And then we can join the communion together. So let us have time to pray for God's forgiveness together. Let us pray. God, please forgive us all the impurities we have made in our lives. God, please cleanse our heart and restore our relationship holistically and help us to be your means of grace to the people around us continually. God, as we are joining the communion together, we ask you to bless our, you know, bread we are going to take together, and also bless the cup we are going to drink from together, and be with us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night when Jesus Christ gave of himself for his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As we are joining the communion together, we remember how much and deeply we have been loved by our God. He sacrificed his only son for all of us. And also we remember God has invited us to abide in Jesus Christ continually so that we can reveal His character, His love through us to the people around us. We have to remember that. Please join this feast, and God is inviting you to come to this table. Dear God, thank you so much for your presence in our lives. God, help us to, you know, abide in your Son, Jesus Christ, and help us to abide in His love continually. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let us stand and sing.
Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can continually abide in Jesus' love and his words. Now, go in peace. Amen. Amen.